back to the Jeff Poor Show on After Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106 text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Joining us on the line now, one of our favorite guests we like to bring on. From the 4th Congressional District, we have Robert Adderholt joining us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate it. Just real quick before we get into the politics game, how are things going for you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it was good to see in Montgomery, about a week or so ago. But it's been a while since we've actually been on your show, so I'm glad to be back on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Let's kick it off here. I know you've been working on this really hard. These two American prisoners that went over to Ukraine both happened to be either near or from your district, and I know you've been really involved in that. Any update on that?
It's been quiet here recently. We are still, trying to stay in contact, keep our phone lines open with the State Department. We've had myself and Terry Sewell both had a conference call, a video conference call actually, with the folks at the State Department. And the latest we heard, they're still being held. And one of them is actually in the 4th District, as you mentioned. One of them is actually just south of the 4th District. That's in Terry Sewell's district, and that's why she was involved. But, we're still wanting to do everything that we can to try to help. I am sometimes that when things are, you don't hear any news, sometimes that can be good, because certainly if anything tragic would happen, I'm sure we would have known about it. But, I'll be honest with you, the State Department has not been as forthcoming as we would have liked them to have been. A lot of the information, they're holding close to the vest, but as far as we know right now, they are still being held. They are probably in the part of Ukraine that is being controlled by the Russians. It's very, very discouraging, I know, for the families. And, we've told them that we want to stay in constant contact with them. But, it's... I think because of everything going on here with FBI searches in Mar-a-Lago and different things that's going on with campaigns around here, we don't hear as much about the war in Ukraine as we did, say, 3 months ago.
No, it's certainly gotten quiet on that front every then. You'll see Zelensky or somebody like that will show up somewhere, but... It is certainly kind of falling off the
front pages, right? I'm hoping that we will, I think it's important that we as Americans, don't forget about Ukraine. And certainly we don't forget about these two individuals from Alabama that are being held. But it's important that we keep in mind what is going on in Ukraine, because I think Russia would like for us to just forget about the war. And I think on their own, it would be very difficult for Ukraine to combat the force of the Russians. And I hate to see a sovereign country like Ukraine being overtaken by the Russian government. And I think it sends a bad message for the rest of the world, and especially I think China's watching.
Well, let's talk about it while we're on the topic of Russia and Ukraine. I mean, we've done some supplementals and sent some resources, or dedicated resources, I should say. What's left to be done? What more could be done, do you think, Congressman?
Well, I think we need to continue to support them with the type of equipment that we have been. Of course, we have not got engaged with personnel at this juncture, but I think helping them get the kind of weaponry that they need is important, and that we continue to do that. And of course, a lot of other countries are helping Ukraine as well. We have put a lot of money into Ukraine, but we've got to make sure that we have that they have access to the weapons that can combat Russians. They will be doing the fighting there, but you know, we need to make sure that they have access to the equipment they need.
And, you know, does, what does success look like from the terms of American foreign policy? Is it just Russia going, pulling out and going back home, or, you know, is there a peace deal? Does it, would it be acceptable that Ukraine had to give up some territory? Well, what do you think a successful outcome would look like?
Well, I think a successful outcome would be that Russia would withdraw, and, you know, those contested areas would be given back to Ukraine. Now, I know that, you know, I'm sure that Russia will be very reluctant to do that. But at the minimum, the uncontested areas that are clearly in that Ukraine and Russia knows that is in Ukraine territory, that area should be without reservation, be given back to, and when I say given back to Ukraine, that's not that like Russia has taken it, but it would, should be, Russia should withdraw any kind of claim toward it. And of course, I would agree with the Ukrainians, and they have said that they're not going to give up one inch of any of the contested land, and I agree with them. But, you know, I know that there's been a lot of deaths on both sides. A lot of Ukrainians and Russians have died, and I'm hoping, my hope and prayer would be that Russia will just withdraw and see that it's not worth it at what they're doing, and especially the reputation they're getting around the world. There's very few countries in the world that are siding with Russia on this issue. And so they're putting a very bad taste in the mouth of countries around the world. So I would hope that they would say, we've lost enough, and they would go back and let Ukraine be and let it be the sovereign nation that they have been.
Do you think the world's reaction to this has been enough to dissuade China from making moves on Taiwan? Because that was always the argument. We need to be strong and bold with our Ukraine policy, because if we are not, then China will look at that as a green light to move on Taiwan. And we, like I said, we haven't talked about this much because everything else going on, but you think there's enough there to kind of keep China at bay?
I think that they're getting a message that right now that it is not, that it would not be a smart move. However, I'm not saying that they're completely have given up on going into Taiwan. I think that they are waiting for a chance to do it. But I do think that there's been enough reaction to what's going on in Ukraine that gives them pause. It caused them to say, maybe this is not the best idea at this time anyway. So I would agree that there has been some positive things, if you can say that, has come out of this, the message that's being sent. But at the same time, I don't think for a minute we need to think that China has moved on and not thinking about it. They're looking for opportunities to go into Taiwan whenever the opportunity is right.
Joined by Congressman Robert Atterholt here on the program. Congressman, we'll shift gears here. Election right around the corner with the midterms. I assume you're in good shape in your race, as you usually are. But bigger picture, I guess. The House still seems pretty solidly going Republican after November, but the Senate's still kind of up for grabs. There's a lot of question marks out there.
Well, that's exactly right. The House looks very good. Of course, let me just say about my own race. I don't take anything for granted. I have the same opponent that I had 2 years ago. I know it was successful, but I realize that, you know, this is a whole new entire election. I just had a campaign event on Saturday evening in the Marshall County area around Guntersville, and we will continue to have campaign events. So we're not taking it for granted, but, you know, I'm optimistic, but, you know, like I said, I've always made the statement, and I've heard the statement that anybody can be beat. And I believe that's entirely true. So we will continue to campaign up until election day. The other thing that, as the House overall it does look good for the Republicans to take control. And a lot of people, question I get from a lot of folks is, you know, how many seats are we going to pick up as Republicans? And I think there's really three tranches to look at it, 10, 20, and 30. I think the Republicans should, at a minimum, pick up 10 seats. Now, I think it'll be more than that. I'm just saying that 10 is sort of the lower level that Republicans should pick up. Remember, there's only five seats that need to be picked up in order to take the majority. So that's well over taking the majority. So 10 seats seems to be that it would not be the best night for Republicans, but it would be a great night in the sense that we take the majority. But the conventional wisdom is that we should probably take 20 seats. If things go exceptionally well election night for Republicans, then there could be 30 seats the Republicans could pick up. But I think that you have to look in those three. A bad night would be taking the majority and only picking up 10 seats. A good night would be 20 seats. A great night would be 30 seats.
And, I mean, it seems here as of late, maybe I don't know what it could be, if there's something going on in the politics, the FBI stuff with Trump, but it does seem like the heading into the midterms, maybe not as much wind in the sails of Republicans. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but who knows, by the time November gets here, it could be full speed ahead.
Well, I think what happened, the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago, really probably that was one thing that has energized, I think, the Republicans and especially the Trump supporters. And, of course, we've seen Trump's numbers go up increasingly since the raid at Mar-a-Lago. So actually, they didn't know it, but I think Merrick Garland and the Democrats and the administration really did Republicans a favor by doing the raid, in the sense that it's energizing the base.
Is your congressional district, our listeners may or may not know this, but the highest voting Trump congressional district in the country in the last election cycle. Do you still feel like it's pretty solidly Trump country in the fourth?
I do. There's folks that I am still seeing not only wearing Trump T-shirts and Trump hats, but now it's Trump 2024. So I feel like I'll be honest with you, again, since the raid on Mar-a-Lago, there's been people that tell me that they were not, they'd sort of much moved on from Trump, but after Mar-a-Lago, they're like, they're pulling out their Trump stuff again.
Well, let's get your take on that. I obviously, it's an unprecedented act for any Department of Justice to go after a former president the way they did, and there's a lot of questions. I assume this is something you guys will endeavor to get to the bottom of when you do get control of the House in this next Congress. But what was your reaction to what had happened?
Well, as you say, it's unprecedented, and I think that really is the big question is, why did they not get these documents in some other way? If they were having trouble getting documents, they should have done something. This should have been the last resort. I don't think it was the last resort. And, of course, I don't know all the details and all the conversations that took place, but I will say that from information that I understand that's given from most news sources, that there were other options that they had. And they decided to go the political route. And that's what I think is disturbing, because honestly, Trump is looked at being a potential candidate in 2024 against the sitting president. And these things you hear about when a presidential candidate is, you know, raided they are taken in by the police or whatever, which has not happened here, but in other countries, it's usually in a third world country, in a country that's where their democracy is not secure. So, and democracies like we have in the United States of America and other stable democracies around the world, you just never hear of a political opponent of one party raiding the home or the business or anything like that of the opposite party.
Well, that's
I think that's what the red flag.
Right, that's just the thing, that's like the United States is seen as a safe haven, right? It's a place where people from abroad will put their money, invest in the U.S., multinational corporations will build their manufacturing facilities here because of the stability, and you don't have to worry about, you know, a coup every month or something that is stable. And you have to wonder, like, now that this has become maybe a new precedent, let's hope not, but should it be that you really tinker with that stability and it could hurt the economic strength of the country in the long run?
Sure. No, you put your finger on the real issue with it is it gives instability to the United States of America, not only economically, but also in our democracy in general, that we have a government that is run by politics rather than by the law.
Congressman, we're out of time, but you have been very, very kind to make time for us, and hopefully we can get you on maybe at least one more time before we get to the November elections.
That would be great. I look forward to being with you, Jeff, anytime, and good to chat with you, and look forward to next time, and hope all is well.
Well, best of luck to you, Congressman. We'll talk again soon. That was Congressman Robert Adderholt there, the 4th Congressional District. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And he just walked away. He aimed his truck toward that Wyoming line. The little luck he could still get there.